Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 1, The Dawn of the Guardian. Title, The Genesis of the Trust Guardian and the Birth of AI. In the heart of the bustling city, nestled among a forest of towering skyscrapers, a young man named Bidzil Bey found himself in the epicenter of the financial world. His office, dimly lit by the city's ambient glow, was a testament to the complex world he was about to navigate. Strewn across his desk were a myriad of financial reports, legal documents, and trust agreements, each one a piece of the intricate puzzle of trust administration and compliance. Bidzil was not just any young man, he was a legal prodigy, fresh out of law school, with a keen interest in the intersection of law, finance, and technology. His journey was just beginning, a journey that would lead him deep into the labyrinthine world of trust law, a world filled with fiduciary duties, asset conveyances, and beneficiary rights. His mission was clear, to revolutionize the way trusts were administered. He envisioned a future where the complexities of trust law could be simplified, where compliance could be ensured with the click of a button, and where transparency was not just a goal, but a reality. This was the genesis of the Trust Guardian, a concept that would merge the legal expertise of a trust officer with the efficiency and precision of artificial intelligence. It was a bold idea, one that would challenge the status quo and transform the industry. The birth of the Syntactical Trust was the first step in this journey. This innovative approach to trust administration harnessed the power of AI to streamline processes, enhance transparency, and strengthen compliance. It was a game changer, a tool that would redefine the way trusts were managed. As Bidzil delved deeper into the world of trust law, he began to understand the true potential of the Syntactical Trust. It was not just a tool, it was a paradigm shift, a new way of thinking about trust administration. And it was just the beginning.
Well, then let's go into our program then. And I was thinking lately, and again on the way over here, that I had wondered if tonight's program might, you know, I think it's always relevant, but I thought, well, it might be slightly less relevant than when I booked it, because we were looking at this fiscal cliff, so-called. And as it turns out, it's a fiscal cliff is still there. However, even if it is resolved, before the end of the year, you know, we may or may not, probably not have a very favorable solution. So, yes, I'm afraid to say that tonight's program is still as relevant, if not more so than ever. And it does relate to, you know, in the overarching sense, protecting and preserving your assets. And it's my firm belief that if it hasn't happened already, or happened in small ways at least, that when they run out of income to tax, they're going to have to just start taxing wealth, whether it's constitutional or not. And it's coming. So you want to try to hold on to your assets and hold on to your wealth. And our speakers tonight are very well versed in the subject, and will give us a lot of interesting tips on how to do that. They've addressed us a couple of occasions before, and each time they brought new information, because the environment is constantly changing and evolving, or devolving, however you want to put it. So it's good to have people who are, you know, are on that beat and keeping an eye on what's going on, you know, on literally a day-to-day basis, I'm sure, and preparing strategies for you. Some of the things they're going to talk about are basically defining trust, trust operations, trustee responsibilities, how to structure trusts, establishing a business with a trust. So I think literally something for the whole family. And they're going to have some horror stories, I think. One that was cited in our reminder and announcement, basically what the so-called death tax is going to do to family businesses and family farms if something isn't done. And again, as I say, you know, there may be a solution, but whether it'll be, you know, an optimal solution, that remains to be seen. So we may have to develop some other strategies around, you know, around this eventuality. So anyway, I'm glad that Frank and Gwen are here tonight, Frank Ozak and Gwen Wyckoff, so let me have them come up and I will hand the dais over to them, and please help me welcome them. Frank, welcome, thank you.
I first want to thank Mike and recognize Howard and George McCaleb, who is also a co-author of The Art of Casting the Buck, and Bernard Brandt, who helped us put our paperwork together for the DOJ. And if anybody has an interest in legal work, both George and Bernard and Howard all have paralegals, and they can help people put that stuff together. I want to thank Mike for having us here, and I want to thank the Carl Hess Club. And one thing I did want to mention about this is that in our paperwork from the DOJ, the Carl Hess Club was mentioned. So therefore, you have stepped up, and you have now become recognized by the New World Order. And Eustace Mullins wrote about it in his book called The World Order, to where if you have any small club, no matter how small, you will probably have somebody there who is a representative of the order. They try to convince you to do something, they'll be very helpful. So Carl Hess Club has been recognized. And before we get started, if people are watching this on YouTube, there'll be a link here for any handouts that are given below. And there's also a link on our website for it. And one thing I would want to say is if anybody's here that is a member of an alphabet agency or responds to an alphabet agency, please stand up and identify yourself. Pardon?
I'm an
alphabet agency.
I belong to the FIB.
Okay, well, I don't see anybody standing up. I see a bunch of people looking around and some people looking straight ahead. So the people looking around, I guess, are trying to find out who belongs to an alphabet agency. And those who are looking straight ahead, you're suspect. So I'm going to turn this over to Gwen. And she's going to carry the heavy load on this. And I hope you enjoy it. And
I want to... Give the website address.
Oh, you can see us at... And this video will be posted at passingbucks.com. And here's Gwen Wyckoff.
Here I am. Greetings and salutations. It's fun to be here. I hope to take you on a wild journey tonight and make everything pretty exciting. First of all, I'm going to start by telling a story about our great Mike Everly. Something he's totally forgotten. He was only 7 years old when this happened. He was in second grade. Maybe some of you have heard about him. The teacher came into class one day with a small envelope, and inside the envelope was a cut-up picture of the world. And these second graders are supposed to put together the world. Mike, at that time, little Mikey, he was very fidgety. He didn't like sitting in class, and all these pieces of paper of this silly world were not interesting to him. So he fooled around with them, and he turned over a couple of them, and he found out on the back there was a picture of a home. And he liked that. That was a neat puzzle. So he turned everything over, because he was a rebel, and he scotch taped it all together. And he was done in 10 minutes. And there he was, with the world finished, because when he put together the home, the world took care of itself. So that's what this lecture is about. And of course, we have to applaud Mike for his brilliance. And the biggest conspiracy is the one against the family. You can put all the conspiracies together. You can list them, which I'm going to do tonight, a lot of them. And really, the bottom line is they're after you and your family. Humans cannot operate alone. They can only operate in groups. They need to share resources. They need to talk to each other. They're made of heart and soul. There's lots of entities on this planet, all dressed up in human bodies, that don't have heart and soul. And it's unbelievable sometimes when we finally become aware of that, that we have to discriminate who we're dealing with. So my lecture is for heart and soul tonight. And I'm going to tell you a few more stories and then take you on a journey. This empty jar here, I mean, it looks empty, looks about 6 inches with a white lid. This little jar here is not empty. There's something in here, and you're going to be able to see it later. Okay, I spent many years in transcendental meditation, listening to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and every once in a while he would say something that would just knock me over. It just took me forever to think about it. And he said, you can only love yourself. There's absolutely nobody that you can love but yourself. It's impossible to love another person. And the only thing you love about another person is your own reflection. And I've gone through life for many years looking at that and recognizing that is so. And sometimes what you love in the other person is the other person's pain, because it reflects your own pain. But with this in mind, when we're talking about families, you have to understand that you have to have, in your group situation with your family, you have to have a situation where you get satisfaction, where you're getting your needs met. And in the system I'm going to show you and explain to you, it's all based on cross-vested interests and getting benefits. Let me just say a little bit about benefits. I've said it on the YouTube video a lot, and I've said it on the audio lecture that's on our website. But whoever gives you the benefits is where your loyalty belongs. And unfortunately, it's the federal government that's giving out the benefits, and that's where all the loyalty is going. And in this trust system, the common law trust system, we need to rewire our families so that the group power through the trust system is where you get your benefits and where you want to put your attention, which is on each other and on your family. The families today are fractured. People are all over the place. There's dysfunctional relationships with parents and siblings and all kinds of stories about, you know, everybody's got some issue going on with their family. However, the government has spent a lot of time programming the world to make sure that that is so. So at some place we have to stop, and we have to decide how we're going to do it. And there is absolutely no organizational system, no leadership system that is available that is tight enough to hold the family together under the circumstances, except the common law trust system. And this is why it's been under siege. This is why the DOJ comes after people with trust. This is where the battle line is. So no matter what we deal with and how we look at it, the people that should support us, the people that we need to support us, are our family. Now, we may have to redefine family. We may have to say, well, my parents are, I can't deal with them. And you may have to get another group that's your family, but somehow you're going to have to reformat your organization so that you can survive in whatever's coming. And I'm not a doomsday person. I don't say bad things are coming. I just say that if we can organize ourselves on a family basis and become strong, we can provide the leadership necessary. Yes?
You'll see on our newsletter it says, inspired by family synergy.
All right. Okay. Because we're in the trust business, I want to mention that all living trusts become irrevocable. And so there's a lot of principles about trusts in the irrevocable format that need to be learned before you do your simple little living trust that you can download off the internet. I'm not against doing that. I'm only against doing it without knowledge. In volume one, we dedicate the whole book to teaching people about inheritance, how to pass on inheritance, what to do in every situation you can possibly imagine, whether the trust is irrevocable or not. But just remember, whatever you do, it will become irrevocable when the grantor dies. The subject of inheritance is probably the one of the least understood in the whole world, and that's been deliberate. Deliberate. It's not a mistake.
Why is that?
Because they don't want you to build your wealth from generation to generation. The powers that be, they have built their wealth since Rome. They have always been in trust. They've always put everything in trust. They have taught every generation how to perpetuate the wealth. And the people of Earth, the people that are not in those big families, those big ruling families, know nothing about it until we wrote these books. And now the whole system of how it's done is available. Okay, I'm going to demonstrate a system to create family cohesion. A strong family has a multitude of options. A strong family has multiple connections and becomes a formidable force in society by creating jobs. What would you rather do? Have to work from morning to night for somebody else or create jobs for somebody else? This is what family cohesion can do. Now I'm going to take you into the future, because very few of you have ever experienced being in a trust family, in a trust situation. So we are going to go on a fantasy journey, and we're going to go into the future and see what that looks like. And I brought my friend here in this jar, and you can't see her yet because you haven't got your virtual reality glasses. And this jar really isn't 6 inches tall. This jar is really 2 feet tall. And inside this jar is the name of a being called Perpetual. And her last name is Wealth, right? And this is a fairy. And I'm going to let her out of here. And she has purple iridescent wings. She has a teal dress. She has long, tiny hair down to her waist. I bet you can see her now.
I can see her perfectly.
And she's going to gold dust all of you and give you your virtual reality glasses. And on the side of your virtual reality glasses is a dial. And it goes from 0 to 5. And you're going to turn it up to 5. I'm taking the whole, all of you, and we're zooming into the future, and you're going to go three generations into the future. And in that future, you're going to be sitting in a beautiful room. You can design your own room. It can have an oval table, it can have a square table, it can have a mahogany table, but there's 15 people sitting at that table. And you're zoomed into the future and you're sitting at the table. And what's happening in this table is it's kind of like a Board of Trustees meeting. Not a real serious one because it's not going to have a big long agenda. But you are 30 years old. You're sitting at the table. You've been invited into this meeting. And the trustees are explaining how all the money is accumulated in the trust. How the money comes in from the farm that was acquired through marriage by one of the beneficiaries, your aunt, brought the farm into the trust system. There's an electrical engineering company where the trust is a partnership and it takes care of electrical engineering all over the world. And all this money is coming into the trust. There's an apartment building with 100 apartments bringing in BUCO money, right? And you're sitting there at the table and you're looking at the pages of financial data. And you are there because you are going to be trained how to help manage all this stuff. And when you were 18, so you're three generations into the future, and when you were 18, you met with the trustees and they said, you're going to get $1,000 a month and you're going to get it and you have 5 years to play with it. And what we want from you is we want you to have experience with money and we want you to have experience in life. You can either get an education or you get a technical education or you can just go out and have one job after another. And in 5 years, we want you to come back and tell us your experience. And then from that point forward, the trustees would design the rest of your training. So here you are in this Board of Trustees meeting, and they're telling you about the finances, and they're telling you they're going to give you this management training situation so you can help manage the family finances. Now this is a three generation in the future. So while you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, how did this all happen to me? The perpetual wealth fairy decides to take you all back in time to show you how it was set up. And so that's what we're going to do today. We have a handout. We're going to show you how to structure a trust. A little bit of a structuring a trust. But we're not going to do that quite yet. You've got to get you back into this room. So you're going to fly back into the room with the fairy. You're going to look down on the crowd, and you're not sitting here. You're sitting here as your grandparents who set up the trust for the three generations in the future. And I needed to explain to you what the goal is and what the future looks like so you could possibly understand what we're going to do today. And the idea is to step you through a little tiny piece of how to set up a trust. This information comes from volume 2, page 45, chapter 4. And the reason I want to tell you it's chapter 4 is because there's three chapters that go before what I'm going to tell you. So I'm going to only tell you a little piece because it's way too complicated to go any further.
How much are those books?
What?
How much
is a book? Well, the little one is $40. And the big one, which isn't for everybody, believe me, not, it's $500. And we keep it at $500 because we want to keep the looky-loos out. If you're not serious about setting up a trust, we don't want you to get involved because it's very dangerous. I have never said it was easy to do what we're telling you to do. But if you are serious about setting up an organization to make your family work so you can sit in the Board of Trustees meeting in the future, and wonder how all this happened, then you get volume two. Okay? All right. So, previously, because I'm going to be jumping into a piece of trust structuring that's actually quite sophisticated, I want to just say that we're on YouTube. We have an hour and 15-minute video where we were interviewed about our court case. The DOJ came after us, and we proved to them by law, we proved to them by example, we proved to them by every possible means you could, that the trust system we set up is absolutely legitimate. And I think the moment in time when the attorney for the DOJ got it, it's when I said, why are you asking me all these questions? A common law trust is no different than a statutory trust. There's no difference in law. It's the same laws. Why are you doing this? And I realized at that point that they actually thought a common law trust was a different animal. It's only a different animal in the sense that it is more sophisticated and it's harder to manage, but it has so much more potential. But if you have a court case and you're going to fight about it, your trust in front of a judge, it's the same laws as a statutory trust. So I was like, okay. So at that point, is I think where the whole thing began to turn around. And they began to realize, you know, we weren't doing anything illegal, or these were not sham trusts. The biggest difference between a sham trust and a real trust is whether you have two real trustees. Trustees are essential because they're the ones who have their name on the checking account. They're the ones who own all the investments. They're the ones who administer to the beneficiaries. And they are separate entities. Your name is not on the checking account. And you have to trust these trustees. That's why it's called a trust, to take care of you. And there's the trick. It's quite tricky. You better know what you're doing. Okay, we also have an audio lecture where I take you through the details of that particular scenario, where what do trustees do and what do all the officers do and all of that. So you can get all that on in other places. Okay, like I mentioned, the family is the only target. No matter what kind of conspiracy you go to, at the bottom, the family is the target. I call it yo-yo banking. The banking system on this planet can be manipulated any way at any time by anybody who's got the power. And these are these big banking families that can do this. Now, you may not understand the issue of poverty in reference to politics. Poverty is deliberately set up by the powers that be because this is where they get their armies. Drugs and gangs is a beautiful source for armies and assassins. And and they're funded by the alphabet agencies. These are all against the family. They release felons from prison early to terrorize the population, to make sure you cannot feel safe. They do not want you to feel safe. And of course, we all know about pedophiles. All over the place, pedophiles. I brought one article that was on the internet. It's called Rampant Child Porn Rings at Government Agencies. Your fiends, these non-heart and soul people, they get fed children for payment. A pedophile is an obsessed creature. If you want him to go murder somebody for you, he will. Promise him five little girls. It's ugly. It's very ugly. But again, it's the family being targeted. You're up against a huge, huge enemy. And they've been at it a really long time. So you're now, remember, you had come back from the future, and you're wondering how your trust got set up. So you're in this lecture right now, and you're understanding that it's very dark. When your grandparents set up this trust system, it was a very, very dark time. And what happened from the time your grandparents set up the trust system is they gathered enough momentum and enough internal fortitude by long-range planning that they were able to do something to clean up some of the problems that we have now. And it would take a lot of people to do this. And I didn't say I was dealing with reality. I said it was a fantasy. But we at Charles Arthur, this is what we're about. We're about educating people how to set up their family so that they have the cross-vesting, they have the benefits, they hold together. The military domination of the world is about making sure that oil remains in the backing of the dollar. These are called petrodollars that we have. Your $1 bill in your pocket is backed by oil. So if you change the oil domination of the world, then you're going to change the financial situation in the world. And this is where the great big power houses are fighting. Of course, we all know about dumbing down the population through the education system, or don't... You know, you learn algebra in the morning and you learn chemistry in the afternoon, and the two are not connected. That's what happened to me. I was brilliant in algebra, but could I ever apply it to chemistry? No, I can't. It's compartmentalized learning, and it's done deliberately. And the educational system is about making sure that people cannot rise too far. They want factory workers. The government is very, very into programming the population. So the people better get onto programming their own children. What is kind of upsetting today is the mother with the baby and the stroller, and she's got two earplugs in her ears, and she's texting while she's listening to some music. Is she paying any attention to the baby? Uh-uh. I'm sure all of us have seen this. Consciousness is transmitted by eye contact. You have to do your Gucci Gucci Goos, and you have to do your peekaboos with your baby. And you have to talk to your baby. Your baby is your future. In the common law trend, what?
Touching.
Huh?
Touching.
Oh, touching, holding, all of that. In the common law trust system, you begin to realize your children are your product. Your children are your asset. The focus goes away from trying to buy the speedboat into making sure the children rise up to take care of the future. Okay, where are we? Okay, you know about those situations. You probably had it in your own family if your parents were going to leave you anything at all, where your mother or your father would not tell you anything about the money that they were going to pass to you. They absolutely refused. They were so afraid that you wanted to take their money that they never told you anything. Then they die. And nobody's prepared for what happened. That happened with my father. He had a substantial sum of money, and he wouldn't tell me anything. Then he died, and his brother took over the trust my father set up. And his brother took him months to figure out where all the money was. And there was no instruction. There was a trust, but there wasn't any instructions where any of the wealth was. When we set up an irrevocable trust, all that money gets transferred to the trustees, and you turn your family into a business, and the trustees print out the financial reports, and the beneficiaries get to see what's going on. It's full disclosure, and it's full participation in the family. And the family comes together, and this is where you start getting your beneficial distribution and your vested interest. This is where it starts, not this closed-lipped kind of thing that parents often do. When I give you your little assignment here, you're going to see four trusts. And you might wonder why there's four different trusts. There's a thing in the trust world called asset separation. That's if one asset gets seized, you don't lose all the others. In our video, we tell a funny story about that. It's called The Dog Bit. The dog was in trust. The dog bit somebody. The person sued. And he ends up with the dog in the trust. That's all he got. He didn't get the house or the car or anything.
I can give you a more classic example. The Kennedy Trust. All of the property is in the Kennedy Trust for this entire family. When the Kopechne family attempted to sue Edward Kennedy, they found that he did not own the house that was over his head. He did not even own the car that killed their daughter. If they could sue him all they wanted to, but there was nothing for them, nothing that they could take back. That's what a family trust can do.
And it saved his bacon.
Yes.
I don't want to, you know, go over things that we already have in public domain, because I want to move on here in reference. Thank you for that, Bernie. I want to reiterate, since Bernie just contributed to this, I want to reiterate how brilliant he was with his paperwork in reference to saving us when the DOJ came after us. We can highly recommend him as a great researcher. And he understands strategy. Okay, yes?
Just to put that in perspective, the DOJ had gone into court 99 times before that for prior restraint on publications. They were 99 and zero. They came after us, and with Bernie, they walked out with the government. It was
the paperwork. The paperwork they sent against us caused George and Bernie to go into great, hilarious laughter. It was so bizarre and off the wall. And Bernie was quite incensed with the injustice of the situation, and so he jumped in and helped us. And George was a great part of allowing that to happen.
Just because it was humorous and off the wall doesn't mean it wasn't deadly serious.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was scary. I mean, since it was my name and Frank's name, I didn't find it funny. I'm glad they did.
I also plan on writing a book about the whole affair and telling as well the skill set and knowledge set that one needs to fight. But the working title for it is How to Defend Yourself Against Government Bullies. Because that is precisely what it happened.
Okay. Are you ready to structure your trust, grandparent? Did you guys pass out the little thing, the flyer already? Okay. Now, I realized when I decided to put this together that it was probably way out of sequence and way ahead of the game. But I figured if you sit down and you actually have to name your own trust, it might sink in a little deeper. So I want you to go to Exhibit A, the one that you don't have to fill out. And this is straight from the book. It's called the Alan J. Family Trust. And in Volume 2, we take you through the whole setup of this trust from beginning to end. We take you through all the details. And the reason that trustee names are a little odd is because then you'll remember them. And so the Alan J. Family Trust is the last names of the mother's maiden name of both the grandparents of the husband and the wife. So the husband's mother's maiden name was Allen, and the wife's mother's maiden name was Jay. And the reason we use the maiden name is because it divorces the government agencies from connecting you in current time to the trust name. It causes a separation because you don't want to name your trust after your current surname because then you're targeted, right? The other reason that we use this is these two people, Al and Jay on here, have a history. And the little kids are going to say, well, who are these people? And then you get to tell your children the history, okay? So it's a really big family deal. So when you're going to name your own trust, I want you to think about a name that is disconnected from your surname and that will give your family a history. The trust names on this particular trust are chosen because they are friends and they're trusted, and all of that choosing of these two trustees is written up in the books, in both books. We think choosing trustees is a very big deal. Okay, you don't choose trustees lightly, and you better know what you're doing, and they better know what they're doing. Then we listed the assets that are going to go in what's called the management trust. The management trust handles things to where it's not interactive with the world. It handles passive investments. It handles those big checks that come in every week, and the management trust disperses it to all the beneficiaries. And the beneficiaries are named on this particular Exhibit A because this page comes out of the trust comes out of the book. We're not going to go into in this meeting how to choose your beneficiaries and TCUs. That is a huge subject. Takes the whole book to explain it. But it's on this page because I wanted you to see what beneficiaries look like and notice that they are different on different trusts. That's very important.
What does TCU stand for?
Trust Capital Unit. It's your piece of the action. When you get born, you have a TCU when you get born. You have probably 10, okay? So you're already rich, even though you're one day old. So you're always, you come into the world with a vested interest in the trust. And the trust, at the very least, should, in an ideal situation, handle your food, clothing, and shelter. In some way, it should guarantee that you'll never be on the street. When you can build up the assets that much. Okay, so the management trust is handling the mutual funds and some cash and some stock account and a promissory note, that kind of thing. And then the settlers or the people who are setting up the trust are not listed on here. They had a brother who had Jones Energy Partnership, IBM stocks, and the brother wanted to come into the trust system, but he didn't want to mix his stuff up with everybody else. So he's doing a business trust, and he also has a partnership. So he comes in as a business trust, and he names his beneficiary. Then you have two asset holding trusts. Asset holding trusts do not interact at all with the public. They hold assets. These are, things that are just sitting there. And that would be residential property in the Dawson Trust. And S.M. Myers Trust has all the equipment. And this management trust is the one that manages all these assets. It manages and it distributes and all of this. The business trust has its own checking account. It does business. But the Allen J. Family Trust manages the business trust. You got all that? Clear? Are you looking at your diagram? Okay. Now, what you're going to do, because you're the grandparents here and you're setting up this great big trust, you're going to at least take a little tiny step and turn this over, and you're going to name your management trust, you're going to name your business trust, you're going to name your two asset holding trust, and you're going to put in the business trust what kind of business it is, and in your asset holding trust, you're going to put in there what kind of assets they are. Okay? Go! Right!
You may want to thank who you want for your trustees. You have to be close friends.
Oh, wait. Your trustee, one of your trustees, is the person across from you or the person to your right. And write that person's name.
I have trustees, so I want to use my business.
What?
I have trustees, so I want to use.
Yeah. Put them in.
You cannot name George or myself as a trustee because we're forbidden by law from being a trustee. Oh, you're available again. Okay.
You can be a trustee, George? Okay, get your name in. You guys all got your name?
Traditionally, you can.
For this exercise. Has everybody got their name in? Name of the trust. Name? It's fun, isn't it? You see, just naming your trust takes a tremendous amount of energy.
Mother's maiden name would be a good one. Grandparents, their names. Somebody who meant something important to you in your life.
A name that you want to, like, you want your children to know about. A trust that I inherited from a long time ago was set up in about 1920, and it was named after the guy who set it up. And I was always wondering, what did he do? And I was always asking people to tell me stories about him. And unfortunately, my family didn't have a lot of information about him, but in 1920, I understand the trust was worth $400,000. In 1920.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a lot of money.
But how much was it worth after 29?
Well, we had a member of our family, one of those heartless demon things, and he spent lots of his own money trying to break the trust. So it depleted the assets. So, all right, y'all got that? How about, you got your trustees in?
Yeah.
How about your asset for the business trust? You got that?
Assets.
The assets in your business trust. It's going to have a checking account, so it's a business. It's going to be dealing with the public. Linda's not playing. What? Oh, you filled it out already? And what do we have in our asset holding trust? Got to get names for them. And what kind of goodies? Well, Bernie, what kind of goodies do you have in your asset trust? Oh, well, they make money, so they got to go into the management trust. The inert asset, the non-action asset, the thing that just sits there like
precious
a precious metal. Where would you put the, that? You cash them in, and you have a check. You have a cash flow with that. That's a management trust.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's the hard work.
Hard work. Hard work for the business trust. What kind of asset do you have, Mr. McAuliffe?
Well, in one of them, I have homes.
You have one home or more? One home. All right. What do you have in the other one?
I have artwork.
I know.
And antiques.
Huh?
Artwork and antiques.
Antiques. Oh, hardwood, did you say?
Artwork.
Oh, artwork. Okay, artwork and antiques. That's good. Okay. How about Athena? What? We're looking for the access that just, it doesn't produce cash or anything, just sits there.
They have a car.
Yeah, car's okay.
A car
goes into that.
Gold and silver.
Yeah, we like to put gold and silver in the management trust because you can cash it out.
Okay.
It's a lot of cash flow that goes with it. Cash flow.
I have a home,
so. You got a car and a home? That's good.
I don't have
a home. Oh, wait, you know, this is virtual reality, you know. You got your little virtual.
Okay.
You can put stuff in there.
Put the Bentley in there.
Now. Yeah. Put the rolls in there.
I wanted to own property because I never really owned it.
If you want to own it, stick it on there.
If I don't give the government the money they want, they take it from me. So, I don't know.
But you're not going to own it. It's going to be under the name of the trustee, so they'll never know.
The trust has to pay the taxes. The government doesn't get the money they want. They take stuff. That's what I noticed.
If it's yours.
Well...
I'm having a problem here dealing with the machine and the business.
The machine tools are in one trust and the business is in another.
How do you go about transferring the appreciation to the machine
and the business? That's an accounting thing. We keep the tools are separate by ownership. But it's in a separate trust, so if you want to appreciate it or depreciate it or whatever you want to do, it's in another...
So you've got money passing back.
Well, you're renting out that equipment, all right? So the money passing back and forth is going into the business trust. The actual physical ownership is in the asset trust. And how you would work for the management trust, and you would have the problem of the appreciation, the depreciation issues, and the schedules and stuff. But it's the actual ownership is in that box, okay? And the box is owned by the beneficiaries. So you can rent out the equipment in the asset holding trust, and the money goes into the business trust. Does that make sense? Good. She's an accountant. Breathe. All right. Who else is going to tell me what they got in their asset holding trust? Yes?
I have the book that I've written, the recordings that I've created of the therapy, and my whole 17-turn-key custom with the therapist.
As long as it's inert and not moving? Yeah, that's right. Manuscripts are good. What? Yeah, but the physical manuscript is in an asset holding trust. It's generating money through the business trust.
The copyright's what we're talking about, not in the business trust.
Copyright is in a, well.
Artwork just sits there, right?
Artwork just sits there. Now, if you make copies of the artwork. And you sell them through your business trust. But the originals can be in a asset holding trust. So the trustees will go into the asset holding trust and sell the originals someday, and then the beneficiaries of that asset holding trust get the distribution. Did you follow that? Linda followed that.
Oh, of course, Linda followed.
Yeah. Did you have a question?
Oh, no, I was just kidding.
Okay. All right. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to know what you do with copyrights and patents. I didn't quite hear
when they're going to business trust.
No, the actual physical manuscript and copyright and all that goes into the asset holding trust because it's dead. It's not moving. It's
but
not a moving thing.
The royalties come back into the business.
Yeah, but yeah, the royalties and all that come back into the business
trust. So the intellectual property actually stays in the business trust or it collects the royalties.
No, because you have a contract between the holding trust and the business trust to collect the rights.
Contract is fighting the rights. Mm-hmm. Contract is fighting the rights.
Yeah, see, the beneficiaries own what's in the asset holding trust. You have to understand who really who really gets the benefit. The benefit is the beneficiary. All right? So if you have something in an asset holding trust and you sell it, then the beneficiaries get the money. But if you have it in the, but the business trust has a contract to manage the asset in the asset holding trust. So through that contract, the business trust administers all that money. Let's say you have a Monet and it's in the asset holding trust, okay? If you sell a Monet, then the beneficiaries get it, all right? Now let's say you're going to make, what do you call them, cliches? Is that what it is? Copies of the artwork? What is it?
Cliches.
Whatever it is. Pardon me, you can all laugh at me. But if you make copies of those things, you sell them through the business trust, but the original is in the asset trust.
Let's say that you had four or five pieces of real estate investment properties, apartment buildings or something like that. Those are going to the asset trust?
Yeah, the actual building is in the asset trust.
And then the businesses that actually...
gathers the money is the business trust.
Okay, so there's an LLC that's set up that actually owned them. Would you then take it out of the LLC and put it into the asset trust and keep the LLC as the business? Trust.
Now you're mixing apples and oranges because an LLC is a different entity.
They don't have control over an LLC. They don't have any control over a trust.
So you take everything out of the LLC and just drop it in the trust.
Right.
Dissolve the LLC.
They can ask you for your paperwork anytime they want to on an LLC. They cannot on a trust, which you well know.
Except under certain circumstances,
yes.
Which Bernie taught us. No, when you're in discovery, the DOJ, the attorney for the DOJ, can just write something and demand to see something. It's not under the Fourth Amendment for some reason. Bernie could probably do a whole speech on that. But if...
that's going to be a part of at least one chapter
of the book. At least. All right, but anyhow, they didn't get anything anyway. So there was nothing to get. Okay, any other questions? You guys got your trust name, got your assets stuck in your little asset trust, you got your business trust straightened out, and the management trust is where Linda would work, and she handles all the accounting for the business trust and the asset holding trust. And Bernie works for the management trust as a legal researcher. And then you have an executive secretary and you have a general manager and they work for the management holding trust. Not the management trust. And they administer all the other trusts. Ownership is determined by the beneficiaries on the trust. And that's how it's kept separate. Any questions? Y'all got your foot into the door for your setting up the three-generation trust you saw in the future. And let's hope. Any last questions? That's it, I think. Let me see. Do I have anything else here?
All right, family. Hopefully I'm coming in loud and clear. If I am, please give me a thumbs up inside the chat that you guys can hear me, that I'm coming in loud and clear. Hopefully everybody can hear me. Somebody give me a thumbs up to make sure I am coming in loud and clear so that I can definitely give you what you came here for. Somebody, any of you guys that are in the Bitrix, if you're on the Bitrix and you can hear me, you're in this particular class, someone just give me a thumbs up or acknowledgement that my voice is coming in loud and clear. Therefore, I can definitely give you what you came for. Can everybody hear me? Am I coming in loud and clear? Let me just put that inside the chat. There we go. Beautiful. Good. There we go. Now we're cooking. All right, family. With that being said, that is the great Gwen Wyckoff, the co-authors of Passing the Buck. And what they did is they just gave you a small analogy of how to set up the trust and how you should be looking at it from a position in the future looking back into the past, because the present is just that. A lot of individuals that are looking for ways to move, in my opinion, we live in the age of technology that makes it so easy for us to not have a level of discipline. But when it comes to this type of knowledge, you're going to have to read and read and read and read. And you cannot be passing words that you do not understand. The greatest weapon that the powers that be are using against you is your comprehension and etymology of words. So if you do not understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, how you understand the words that are coming out of their mouth when they're putting it on paper, and unless we get it into a five-minute snippet, I find it ironic that if you listen to music, a music, you know, that's in secular circulation typically runs between, what, 2.5 to 3.5 minutes. Back in the day, you have, you know, we did more dancing and this, that, and the other, so we had extended mixes and tracks and things that sort that sometimes run 4 minutes. But now everything's got to be quicker because we're trying to hurry up and get somewhere. And I find it ironic that the very thing that can free you, because you won't bother to take out the time and choose a level of discipline, because I don't have time to read. No, you don't have time not to read it. You know, if you're not reading, you need to make time for reading. 80% of what I hear in arbitration is all about this, that, and the other, and then it's usually something you did. It's not something that, you know, somebody just came and just picked on you. You contracted yourself into it in some form of fashion in a lot of cases. Now, I guess there are exceptions, but I'm just speaking in general. So we have to understand that trust don't destroy families. Trust help put families together, because the family now has to operate as a cohesive unit in commerce. And again, some individuals, I know, you know, from my own walk, discovered really what was happening. This is why I've been on this hunt, you know, and as a senior trustee, you know, it does the heart good to see that all our work is not in vain. I just wish that there were more individuals that would take out the time to put the emphasis on the administration part of it, because I promise you, if you're looking at this seriously, and I'm not just talking about just looking at it because you got something that's happening today, trust administration is a plan. It is a methodical plan. It is planned. Wealth, it's structured wealth. See, you can literally plan to be wealthy, and you can put in things in place to utilize that wealth now that won't be passed along to the beneficiaries and to the second generation. You can benefit from that now if you're building, you know, your first gen. The great advantage of first gen trustees is that you get to build the wealth. And if you are operating in that capacity of building wealth, the trust has a fiduciary responsibility to take care of you. And there is a lot of wisdom in what we are all saying. But again, I pay homage to Gwen Wyckoff and Frank Ozark. Last time I heard, I think Gwen wasn't doing too well. So, you know, peace and love to the family in that regard. I want everybody to really get the gist of this. This is DTC, DTCC Fast Training, Part 28. And there's evolutions of data that is out there. I've gone over the last several years from putting stuff on our YouTube channel, Spotify. Our blog talk goes all the way back almost like some 12 years. Just plenty of me telling you exactly what the business is and what it is not. Truth is not up for debate. Right now, I'm dealing with probably our sixth generation of students in the aspect of year to year. 6 years strong in actually doing trust administration, 10 years strong in bringing financial information, which goes all the way back to the Diversity Money channel that was actually hosted on this very network, Blog Talk Radio. Oh, man, back in what it was like, 2010 almost, something like that. 12, 10, something like that. Wow. Time has flown. But so much to do, so little time. I look at a lot of the young faces, the new energy, the young men and women, and I hope that you guys really one day will look back on this and really appreciate what it took for us to put all this together and give you this level of commercial and intellectual property. I want you to succeed. I want your family to succeed. I want you to take with this whatever you need to take from it to turn a lemon situation into a lemonade situation. I want everyone at, you know, regardless of your level best, to understand that as long as you are serious about building financial independence and securities, we as a family office will continue to bring information in a capacity where it's a little easier to access than what it once was. But with that being said, so much to do, so little time. I can't do everything. So we have been in a major recruiting proponent to help individuals help us get the word out. And we extend intellectual properties and opportunities to be able to compensate the men and women who are going out to do so. Because I started on Blog Talk, so to speak, it's fitting that I make this announcement on this platform and then start from here on out. For those of you that don't know, about 7 years ago, a lot of digital content that we put particular network, they used to issue to us digital transcripts. And I remember the first year they did that because this predates the monetization of YouTube. They were offering us revenue shares on advertisement that was associated with what was being put on Blog Talk. So if you had a very popular show on Blog Talk, they would put it into a premium package and they would allow advertisement to flow and you would get a portion of that. That's why you had those digital transcripts. So I'm going to fast forward. 10 years ago, the algorithm was put in play, and myself and quite a few of us who were on this platform got a lot of information about securitizing and drawing weekly royalties off of digital content. Now, you got to remember, on Blog Talk, it's talk radio. Blog Talk Radio is audio. Here they gave us the blueprint on how to monetize our audio, which then can be sold and converted to television. And for those of you that have been with us from the beginning, y'all remember back on WTDTA Radio when we talked about the Loyal Listener Program. The Loyal Listener Program was simply allowing those that supported the network to be able to share in that benefit. And for 12 plus years, those who remain loyal with WTDTA Radio that have supported artists from all walks of life, I don't want to put their names out there for copyright reasons, but if you go back, we've had quite a few individuals who've actually came to WTDTA Radio prior to them going mainstream in a lot of different directions. I want you to understand that all of that intellectual property, my family office, and a couple of the other subsidiaries, we've launched a platform in another space. You hear us talk about from time to time called Bitrix, where that has grown to about 30-plus different platforms, which we have been using this digital media proponent to promote a lot of that. My gift to the world is to be able to give the very thing that was given to me back to those that have supported us the most. And every person who is engaged in any of our subsidiaries will have the same opportunity to create content and share content and draw revenue on a weekly basis. For those of you that are interested in that opportunity, we have right now in the automated space about 25 affiliates and agents, and we have been very diligent in that, but we still have room for more with 70 different platforms of content that we can actually go into and about 30 different platforms of information, a lot of content. But my gift is here. Blog Talk still gives us access to those archived databases. And with the implementation of AI, those shows generate anywhere from $300 to $600 a day. So for those that are literally within the sound of my voice that produce content, we're willing to take the very platform and digital transcripts that are generating royalties for numerous other entities, and we will allow you to fix your digital content to that. So that way you don't have to buy a license, sell a license. You already have a show that produces content on a daily basis. Now it's just a matter of getting your structure in play. And those of you that are in trustee training and compliance officer training can definitely be there to assist those that are seeking that. And again, I'm speaking to the family who has literally been with us from the beginning. I wish Beanie Weenie could see us now, but hey, we're here. And with that being said, it all started from a perception that we wanted to provide an opportunity for everyone to be the change they wanted to see. And after years of reflection, after years of hard work, after years of now standing at the cuff, and I remember this like it was yesterday, we used to laugh in the office that one day more people will be staring at their phone than watching television. Here we are now, where streaming now is a major media disbursement point. So for those that are interested, please reach out to our office. You can call our office at 561-873-2125. Yes, 561-873-2125. Leave a message. Someone from our office will definitely get back with you. We actually have some new individuals that will be jumping into the space. So definitely, if you're interested in those revenue opportunities, please feel free to make it known so we can definitely get you into the mix. DTC, DTCC Fast Training is a series of trainings designed to teach trust administration from a security settlement proponent. It allows the practitioners to serve as a limited participant in the DTCC. Now, we took a very specific perception. There are a lot of ways to go with what we talk about, but we try to stay within just one aspect of it to keep the fundamentals few. There's many processes, but the fundamentals are few. And because of the recent changes to the accounting structure, it has allowed you to literally use the security settlement system to help bring back assets into an estate, and that estate can then be managed by a trust. Over the last 5 years, we were able to successfully coin the phrase syntactical. That is one of the trusts that we use. And again, this is a trust that we have branded, we have built, we have practiced, we have case study after case study, all dealing with this type of trust. And this is what we're using now in the present digital age. Whoever invited you to this network saw that you and your family were worthy of being treated like every other elite. So the information, the data is for everyone to access. But again, it requires a discipline. This is not for someone who is looking for a quick lick, a jug, if you will. This is for someone who is in for the long haul, the long duration. This is asset protection. And the very first asset because I'll hear, Mr. Bay, I don't have no assets. If I'm talking to you and you're breathing, you are the asset. You don't think you worthy to be protected? That's the first asset that goes in the trust, you. And then everything that you're affiliated with becomes extensions into other trusts. Keep that in mind. I will open up for a short Q&A of sorts, but just to kind of give you an idea. A lot of things that are being used, you have to pay real close attention. I'm going to give you a five-minute presentation that talks about funding a trust with a K-1. Keep listening, because if you listen long enough, you'll learn something.
Funding a trust using a K-1 disbursement, a comprehensive guide for compliance officers. Introduction. A. Definition of a trust. A trust is a fiduciary relationship in which a party, known as a trustor, gives another party, the trustee, the right to hold title to property or assets for the benefit of a third party, the beneficiary. B. Overview of a K-1 disbursement. A K-1 disbursement is a financial distribution from a business entity, such as a partnership or an S corporation, to its owners or partners. It is reported on Schedule K-1 for tax purposes. C. Purpose of funding a trust. The primary purpose of funding a trust is to manage and protect assets, avoid probate, provide for beneficiaries, and potentially reduce estate taxes. 2. Understanding trust funding. A. Importance of funding a trust. Funding a trust is crucial, as an unfunded or partially funded trust can lead to complications and may not effectively carry out the trustor's intentions. B. Types of assets that can be funded into a trust. Various types of assets can be funded into a trust, including real estate, bank accounts, non-retirement investment accounts, life insurance policies, and business interests. C. Benefits of funding a trust. Benefits include avoiding probate, maintaining privacy, managing assets during incapacity, and potentially reducing estate taxes. 3. Overview of K-1 disbursement. A. Importance of K-1 disbursement. K-1 disbursements are important, as they represent a significant source of income for many trusts. B. Types of assets that can be funded into a trust using K-1 disbursement. Primarily, business interests and income from partnerships or S corporations can be funded into a trust using K-1 disbursements. C. Benefits of funding a trust using K-1 disbursement. This method allows for the efficient transfer of business income and interests into a trust, providing a mechanism for managing and protecting these assets. 4. Process of funding a trust using a K-1 disbursement. A. Reviewing the trust agreement. The trust agreement should be thoroughly reviewed to understand the terms and conditions related to funding the trust. B. Identifying the trustee and beneficiaries. The trustee and beneficiaries should be clearly identified to ensure a proper distribution of the K-1 disbursement. C. Determining the amount of the K-1 disbursement. The amount of the disbursement should be determined based on the trust agreement and the financial situation of the entity issuing the K-1. D. Ensuring compliance with tax laws and regulations. It is crucial to ensure that the disbursement and subsequent funding of the trust comply with all relevant tax laws and regulations. E. Communicating with the entity issuing the K-1 disbursement. Open and clear communication with the entity issuing the disbursement is necessary to facilitate the process. F. Documenting the transfer of the disbursement into the trust. Proper documentation is essential for legal and tax purposes. G. Updating the trust's financial records. The trust's financial records should be updated to reflect the new assets. V. Potential challenges and considerations. Coordination with tax professionals. Coordination with tax professionals is necessary to ensure proper tax treatment of the disbursement and the trust. B. Timing and frequency of K-1 disbursements. The timing and frequency of disbursements can impact the trust's cash flow and tax situation. C. Tracking and managing trust assets. Proper tracking and management of trust assets are crucial for maintaining the trust's value and purpose. D. Compliance with trust agreement and applicable laws. Compliance with the trust agreement and all applicable laws is necessary to avoid legal complications. 6. Monitoring and managing trust assets. A. Regular review of trust assets. regular reviews of trust assets are necessary to ensure they are being managed effectively. B. Periodic reassessment of funding strategy. The funding strategy should be reassessed periodically to ensure it remains appropriate given the trust's goals and the financial situation of the entity issuing the K-1. C. Proper documentation and record keeping. Maintaining proper documentation and records is crucial for legal and tax purposes. D. Communication with trustees and beneficiaries. Regular communication with trustees and beneficiaries can help ensure the trust is functioning as intended. 7. Conclusion. A. Recap of the importance of funding a trust. Funding a trust is crucial for managing and protecting assets, providing for beneficiaries, and potentially reducing estate taxes. B. Reminder to seek professional advice. Given the complexity of trust funding and tax laws, it is advisable to seek professional advice. C. Emphasize the ongoing management and review of trust assets. Regular management and review of trust assets are necessary to ensure the trust continues to serve its intended purpose.
Niggas fighting over rings, niggas won't be the game, but long live the chief. For a little old thing, little boy, bang, bang. Long live the chief. Niggas fighting over rain, niggas won't be the game, but long live the chief. Yeah, watch pretty mama while I slay my cane. Long live the chief. Cockroaches in the ratchet. Hand-me-downs with the pack. Mama put a little money in the match. Taught me how to make a silver spoon out of glass. You can either sink, swim, or be the captain. Get the last word, I'ma get the last laughing. Now they say you're dinner while you're dressing so classy. I don't want my best dressed day in a casket. You can either leave, follow, or get out the way. Make a fucking move, it will make my fucking day. Got a 100-year plan, you just think about the day. Always been about time, more than been about pay. Y'all up with me, Usain couldn't run with me. Chief come to find you, you'll come for me. At best, you can run a little company. Nigga, at worst, I can run the whole country. That's right, pimp game like a brothel. That's why I don't judge a nigga's hustle. I Airbnb the crib like a hostel. Summer rain deeper, could the streets get hostile? Shot the boy, this fire from a hobby boy. So no, I won't record for your homie boy. I turn the party out like a naughty toy. Then I go and hide in plain sight like a lobby boy. Yes sir, that's your dinner on the banner. Ride it for my niggas getting locked up in the slammer. Elders saying everything's a nail to a hammer. And niggas can't spell, but we know our Instagrammer. Well done, better than well said. I read niggas well, a nigga well read. Really, I ain't met nobody smarter. That's why I got admitted, but I still rejected Harvard. I'm the French prince in a school where they couldn't read. Mama put me in a school with the Kennedys. When I met Bill Clinton, I was 17. But dead presidential's all my niggas need. Dining with the governor's daughter. And the father say, I remind him of Obama. I'm the chief diplomat, every day. And I'm black and white, Janelle Monáe. It won't be the game, but long live the chief. For a little old thing, little boys, bang, bang. Long live the chief. Niggas fighting over brains, niggas won't be the game, but long live the chief. Now watch pretty mama while I slam my cane. Long live the chief.
All right. Before we jump up out of here, we'll start a short Q&A. If you got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can give us a call. If you got any questions, give us a call at 563-999-3661. Again, that number is 563-999-3661. If you got any questions, call in. See if we can definitely get you in before we jump up out of here. In retrospect, it's just all about understanding the administration of trust and how it's applicable. The DTC, DTCC, and actually the FAST accounting system isn't systems that we negate, but we have to understand how they work in order for us to fully be able to restore one's estate. And there's a lot of, I ain't going to say speculation around that. I will just say that a lot of individuals have taken a certain perception of it because, you know, it may be beneficial in one groove or manner than the other. But again, if you want to talk about it, want to get a little more clarity, please feel free to give us a call. Call in now at 563-999-3661. Again, you can give us a call at 563-999-3661 if you got any questions pertaining to any stuff we covered up until this point. Just to recap, we will be offering the Loyal Listener Program once again. So all you content providers that are out there who want to actually draw a weekly income from the content that's in question, please reach out to 561-873-2125 so we can get you in the queue, speak to someone from our illustrious staff who will definitely get you in where you fit in so we can do just that. Those of you that have been with us since A1, since day one, these are exciting times to be alive. Again, I just hope that everybody's truly getting, you know, the intel that's necessary. We have other spaces. I actually are getting ready to do an investment platform just as soon as we jump up out of here. Those of you that are actually in our Bitrix space, continue to stay engaged into the content. I appreciate all the hard work of everybody who's definitely completing the assignments, getting them in. Hey, like I say, exciting times, exciting times, exciting times. Let's see. Do we have anybody out there? Got a question. Here's what I do. I'm going to be fair. I got someone that's in queue that the last four numbers is 7144. I'm going to see if they got any questions. If we don't have any questions from this particular person on here, I'm going to go ahead, and I ain't going to hold you. I'm going to let you go. Remember, all we offer is the truth, nothing more, nothing less. So let's see what's up, see what's happening. Caller, last four digits of your number is 7144. Do you got any questions, comments, or concerns of anything you heard up until this point?
No questions, sir.
All righty. Beautiful, beautiful. Loving it, loving it. Well, hey, man, I think my job is done. Look, we're going to be back tomorrow, same bat station, same bat time. You already know what it is. So as long as you keep doing what you do, we ain't going nowhere. And with that being said, I'm going to say peace and love, family.